KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting an evening with author, journalist, and social observer Fran Lebowitz, Thursday, January 23rd, downtown at the historic Balboa Theater. Tickets and upcoming performances at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Friday, January 10th. Dozens of dogs from the devastating wildfires in L.A. have been evacuated to San Diego. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. A red flag warning is still in effect for parts of eastern San Diego County due to strong Santa Ana winds and dry weather. It ends at 6 p.m. tonight. In East County, sustained winds of 30 to 40 miles per hour are likely, with gusts potentially as high as 75 miles per hour. Alex Tardy, the warning coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service, says people need to stay vigilant.
We don't know where there's going to be a spark, if there will be, so we want to prevent those. That's not predictable. But what is predictable is the weather and how dry it is. And if we do get a spark, how erratic and extreme behavior, where the fires may be impossible to stop in some cases or just difficult overall. So everyone needs to be aware that the vegetation in our area, as we're having these Santa Ana winds, the vegetation thinks it's October, even though the calendar says it's January. It's that dry.
The Weather Service said there's a chance of weaker Santa Ana winds early next week. Commercial flights are officially coming to Carlsbad's McClellan Palomar Airport. San Diego County supervisors on Thursday approved a two-year lease agreement that will let American Airlines begin daily flights to Phoenix. American will operate an Embraer 175 jet, with the first departure starting at 6:15 a.m. The last time commercial flights flew out of Carlsbad was in 2015. Yeehaw! The San Diego Rodeo returns to Petco Park today through Sunday. According to the Padres, the event brings together some of the top rodeo athletes competing for more than $800,000 in prize money. In addition to traditional rodeo events, this year's event will include after parties and concerts. Like last year, animal rights groups are opposing the rodeo. The group Last Chance for Animals is planning a protest today outside Petco Park. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting an evening with author, journalist, and social observer Fran Lebowitz, Thursday, January 23rd, downtown at the historic Balboa Theater. Tickets and upcoming performances at artpower.ucsd.edu.
The San Diego Humane Society helped to evacuate dozens of dogs from the devastating wildfires in L.A. North County reporter Alexander Wynn says they now need your help to relieve their already crowded shelters.
The San Diego Humane Society shelters were already overcrowded, but when the Pasadena Humane Society called, they stepped up. Jordan Fry with the San Diego Humane Society says our region is no stranger to wildfires.
We're really grateful to be able to help in an emergency, just as we know our animal welfare partners in California and beyond would help us as well.
More than three dozen dogs were evacuated to help make room for animals lost or displaced by the fires. Now, the Humane Society is asking for help fostering these dogs to ease the strain at the shelters.
We're going to give you everything you need to foster.
To sign up, visit sdhumane.org/foster. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
President-elect Donald Trump's promise of mass deportations could send thousands of people to Tijuana. Reporter Gustavo Solis says city officials there plan to open a shelter for those who end up deported.
Tijuana Mayor Ismael Burgueño says the city is taking a proactive approach. They're planning a shelter with enough room for 10,000 people and the ability to increase capacity to 30,000. He says a large shelter should prevent deportees from forming encampments in public spaces.
Los espacios públicos en el municipio no serán utilizados.
Burgueño envisions a dignified space where deportees can access social services, health clinics, a job center, and outdoor space.
Porque queremos dar el mejor resultado posible y tratar como se merecen a quienes estén en la situación de ser deportados.
Officials plan to announce the shelter's location over the weekend, but they have not said when it will open. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
The new Congress started this week. Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs spoke to Public Matters reporter Amita Sharma about what to expect in the upcoming months.
So we last spoke before the November election. You were optimistic about Vice President Kamala Harris's prospects. Now, as President-elect Donald Trump is about to embark on his second term in the White House, what are your thoughts?
Look, I think it was a real wake-up call that so many Americans feel so dissatisfied with the status quo. And I'll be honest, these are some of the issues I've been talking about for a long time. We know the cost of living is too high, and frankly, we as Democrats didn't do enough to address it. And I think that we need to do a lot more on that issue. And that's what I'm going to focus on in these next 2 years, finding ways to continue to get things done for our community on issues like childcare, like building more housing, like addressing the really high cost of living that folks in San Diego and all across the country are facing.
So, Congresswoman Jacobs, is there common ground between congressional Democrats and President-elect Trump? I know 300 groups sent a letter to the new Congress this week urging them to protect Medicaid, which Republicans are threatening to underfund.
You know, it's really hard to tell at this point which Donald Trump you're going to get. On the one hand, you know, he's proposing these big tax cuts for the wealthy and big corporations that would necessitate cutting Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security and other things that we know are incredibly important. On the other hand, people like Vice President-elect J.D. Vance spend a lot of time talking about child care and the child tax credit. And so we're going to try and find areas to work across the aisle and actually be able to get done these things while also recognizing that a lot of the incoming Trump administration's agenda will really hurt families in San Diego, in particular around the issues of mass deportation, which will really affect our economy in San Diego, and the trans troop ban that's going to severely hurt our military's ability to recruit and stay ready for whatever the future may hold.
Well, let's talk about mass deportations of undocumented people. Polls gauging Americans' support for this plan are mixed. There are between 150,000 to 170,000 of those people who fall into that category in San Diego County, and about another 150,000 who live in mixed status households. California is a sanctuary state. How do you think this issue will unfold?
I think we in San Diego know better than most how important our immigrant community is to our economy and to the fabric of our communities. And so I think what we need to understand when we're talking about this mass deportation plan of the incoming Trump administration is that it will be a broad-based, broad swath deportation, even of folks in mixed status families, even they've said potentially U.S. citizens, in order to quote unquote, keep families together. And it will severely, severely hurt our economy in San Diego, from raising the price of construction and food to hurting our cross-border economy that we know is so interlinked with the economy in Mexico. And it will also likely increase border wait times because so many of the resources will be going towards this unprioritized deportation.
So what do you view as your role if these deportations do get underway?
I'm focusing on the things that we can do. So number one, that's oversight, making sure that laws and statutes are actually being followed in so much as there are legal protections, that those are staying in place, that we are putting pressure to make sure that there are humane processes in place. And then to see where we can find areas with some folks across the aisle. Remember, they will only have a 1-3 person majority here in the House, where we can push back on some of these really harmful things and, you know, find a handful of folks on the other side of the aisle who are willing to do this. We were able to change the family separation policy when the American people learned about it. And so a big part of this is really making sure we're doing the oversight to call attention to issues and then seeing if we can find allies, even just a few across the aisle, to push back on these really harmful things.
So another group of people in the region looking at a second Trump presidency with some trepidation are scientists. Some have expressed worry that if they oppose the incoming administration's policies dealing with science, they might lose federal grants. Is the fear justified? And if it is, what will you do to ensure that doesn't happen?
We know that Republicans are looking for any way to cut funding and really needed funding for our communities. And so I think the fear is valid, but we will continue working and find allies across the aisle to push back on some of these really harmful cuts that the incoming Trump administration is talking about.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Congresswoman Jacobs, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That was Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs speaking with Public Matters reporter Amita Sharma. And Escondido Sanctuary has been taking on endangered and sick reptiles, but the high costs are stacking up. North County reporter Tanya Thorne says they are now facing eviction.
Over 400 reptiles call the Escondido Ecovivarium home. There you can find snakes, skinks, dragons, and tarantulas. But the Ecovivarium is at risk of extinction. The costs to take care of the animals, rent, electricity, and staff are stacking up.
Where this year has been really tough, you know, for everybody. I mean, let's face it, the economy has been really brutal.
Susan Nowicki is the nonprofit's founder. She says mom and pop businesses have also stopped donating and larger grants have dried up. The sanctuary is now 3 months behind on rent and facing eviction.
We're really asking for the public support right now. We need it desperately because our animals are unique. We're one of the largest reptile sanctuaries in the country, and there aren't a lot of options.
Nowicki hopes visits and donations will increase to sustain the Ecovivarium and their work, which requires daily care. Tanya Thorne, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. This week's podcast was produced by Lainey Alfaro and Brendan Tucinardi. It's edited by Brooke Ruth. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting an evening with author, journalist, and social observer Fran Lebowitz, Thursday, January 23rd, downtown at the historic Balboa Theater. Tickets and upcoming performances at artpower.ucsd.edu.